I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB with Giancarlo Guerrero, who has returned to Symphony Hall to lead the Boston Symphony in works by Tchaikovsky and Bernstein. Giancarlo, thanks so much for a little bit of your time today.
Always my pleasure. Always great to be back in Boston.
So the Tchaikovsky Sixth Symphony, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. I played for a couple of years in an orchestra in Mexico, in the one in Toluca, Estado de Mexico. And I have to tell you that my impression during those couple of years that I played there was that there is an affinity for Tchaikovsky's music among Latin Americans that's sort of uncommon. And I just wondered, growing up in Costa Rica, if that was your experience. Was Tchaikovsky really close to your heart, or did you kind of come to him later on?
I came to Tchaikovsky much later. Interestingly enough, growing up in Costa Rica, most of the music that we did was like the Germanic repertoire. We did very little. The only Tchaikovsky I knew was the Suite from Nutcracker and 1812. That was really it. And as a former percussionist, we had a lot of fun. Of course, we were fighting. We played for the canons. But the symphonies I got to know when I came to school in the United States, and I got to know the Fifth Symphony first, and of course fell in love with it, and the Fourth. And then the Sixth was the last one of the symphonies that I really got to know. And I think I'm glad that I did it, because it's a piece that requires a little bit more, I think, maturity. It's such a deep work. And understanding that level of despair for a teenager or for a young musician might be a little tricky. You haven't lived enough. Maybe now that I have teenage daughters, maybe I can understand the piece a little bit more. But it is one of my absolute favorites. And it's a piece that I can only do a few times separated by many years, because like a Mahler symphony, it demands too much emotionally. It's incredibly draining, as fantastic as it is. But I can only do it enough without becoming completely depressed.
It's an incredibly powerful piece, but it's also one that is it is standard repertoire. I mean, every orchestra should be expected to play it. What is the experience like when you step in front of the Boston Symphony to play it?
Well, because the piece is so well known, and this orchestra has 100-plus year history with this work, it comes with baggage. And sometimes it comes with wrong type of baggage, and meaning they've done it so much that when they revisit the piece after 2 or 3 years, many of them remember when was the last time we did it, with what conductor, and they do what they did the last time. So those are the most dangerous pieces. Works that are played often, you almost have to fight in the first couple of rehearsals to bring a cohesive performance, because everybody brings their memories, including myself, the last time I did it. In the opposite, the Kaddish Symphony, the Bernstein, which we're doing on the same program, is completely new to them. So it's amazing that we get to do this basically from scratch. So that's actually a welcome. I do have to say that because of my many years working with this orchestra, we get into a very nice chemistry working together. So I am so grateful that I can actually make changes on the spot, and the musicians are willing to go along with them. So I did find that in the first few moments of the rehearsal, it's almost like I had to stop and say, guys, let's try to forget everything that we know about this piece and try to bring it together and try to decide how to play it in today's date. On 2018, in March of 2018, what would that sound like? We're not the same people we were three years ago. I know I am not. And I think that all of us kind of took a step back and said, okay, yeah, let's try to see this with fresh eyes. And when you do that, you can create some spontaneous, wonderful moments.
I've assumed that given the timing of the concert and what next week's program is, that the Kaddish was sort of the given when they talked to you about coming here to conduct, and the Tchaikovsky came after that. So I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but why? What led to the choice of Tchaikovsky 6 to accompany the Kaddish Symphony?
You're absolutely right that when the BSO invited me, it was part, of course, of the centennial Bernstein celebrations. And because I do so much American music, they asked me if I would consider doing Kaddish, which I said, absolutely. It's been on my short list for many years. And then we decided, okay, so what comes with Kaddish? And we reminded ourselves that this is a concert to celebrate Bernstein. And this is a very emotional program. And I think this is a program that Bernstein himself would have done. The Tchaikovsky Six was one of his signature pieces. And especially towards the end of his life. It's a work that he recorded close to the end of his life, and I think he kind of had, like Tchaikovsky, a sense of gloom and doom that was coming. And it's one of the most amazing and most powerful recordings, I think, that exists, because I think Bernstein put his heart and soul. I did have to be convinced of the Tchaikovsky Six, even though I felt it was perfectly to honor him, because I felt it might be too much of an overkill. But then I said to myself, but it's different types of emotions. You know, the Tchaikovsky Six is a different type of animal compared to the Kaddish, in terms that the Kaddish is more a personal work of godly dimensions. You know, the Symphony Number 6 is just the work of a tortured soul. And in some cases, you can think of Bernstein of being that in some way or another. So after that, I said, you know what? What a great chance to play a piece like this with the Boston Symphony. And to be honest, I only do the 4th, 5th, and 6th symphonies of Tchaikovsky. The first three symphonies, to this day in my life, I just do not understand. I hope to someday because I adore the composer. But 4, 5, and 6 to me are in my core repertoire. But as I said, the 6th symphony is one that I only do on special occasions because I can only withstand so much emotion in my own life. And after doing the rehearsal this afternoon with the orchestra for the first time, I say to myself, I'm glad that I'm doing it, but then after this, I will let it rest for many years because, yeah, it is quite challenging. At the end, you feel completely spent. And but what a glorious moment to get to do a work with a fabulous orchestra like the BSO.
What is your experience with the Third Symphony by Bernstein, the Kaddish? Have you done it before? And if so, did you do the original version, which you're doing this week, or did you do one of the revisions that he did later on?
This is my first time with the piece. And when they offered me to do it, the recording that I had at home and the score, which I actually own, as I said, this was on my short list of pieces to do. I knew the work, was the revised version. And then as we progressed, Tony Fogg, who's the artistic administrator here in the orchestra, pointed out to me that when they did the American premiere in 64, it was an original version that Bernstein later revised in 78, and that's the version that most people know. So obviously that made me very curious. So with the great help of Wilson Ochoa, who's a wonderful librarian here in the Boston Symphony, he managed to find the original. He sent it to me, even managed to find the broadcast of the premiere, the radio broadcast. So that told me all the information that I needed in terms that Bernstein's first instinct was right. Female narrator, the original ending is absolutely perfect. The fact that he changed it in 1978, I think, had mostly to do with the fact that Felicia passed away, his wife, and for whom the piece was written. And he got to meet this other man by the name of Sandpiser, or Pizar, who was a Holocaust survivor. So he became good friends, and the fact that he was going to have a male narrator meant that he had to change the text. But his original idea of having Felicia do it, I think, was the right one. And personally, the text works much better with a female character. And that's what we're doing this week. And I do think that for the rest of my life, I cannot imagine myself doing the other version because I've become so attached to it. Maybe because I have two daughters myself. I totally can relate of how this girl, this female character, in many ways is the better spokesperson to be, in some cases, angry at God and angry at the father figure of, you know, why you let these things happen. And I think it's much more effective and much more powerful.
Have you done research into the general tradition of Kaddish within Jewish faith? And how did that lead you to some conclusions or ideas for the symphony?
Absolutely. I mean, this required a lot of delving into and spending time with my rabbi friends. And how this is basically, it is a theater piece, but in many cases, it's also a very intimate work. And the text, the way that Bernstein wrote it, including, you know, adding a bunch of Hebrew text in the middle, there are 50,000 ways that you can do this. I was talking to Lila Robbins, our narrator, and there are words that you can literally say in 5 different ways, and it completely changes the character of the piece. You can say them angry. You can say them sad. You can say them, you know, arrogant. And each of them have the orchestra responding to that. In many cases, the narrator is probably the most important voice in the orchestra because they carry the piece emotionally. The orchestra and the choir basically becomes almost like the Legionisti at La Scala in Milan, who are basically making commentary of what you're saying and responding to the words that you're saying. But it is an emotional roller coaster. And one thing I can promise you, and this is from my friends, my colleagues who have conducted the piece, they always say, the audience goes nuts. It is a piece that at the end, there is a sense of just complete shock and awe that it is so incredibly effective when played in the right conditions that that's one thing that I am looking forward, that this is a work that for audiences is totally understandable from the first moment. And who better than perhaps one of the most important American musicians in history, Leonard Bernstein, who taught us through his young people's concerts. And to this day, you know, in his 100th anniversary, he's still giving us lessons on life and in music.
Did you have any personal experience with Bernstein?
I did. I had the pleasure of working with him and playing with him a few times. It was towards the end of his life, and it was life-changing. Just being around him in the same hemisphere was enough for me to realize that I wanted to make music. It was beyond inspiring. Somebody who gave 800% of himself into the music. It was always about the music. And for those of us who were young at the time, I talked to some of my friends back then, it was the life-changing moment that we said, this is what I want to do. I want to dedicate my life to music, to the service of music. And to be able to be here with the Boston Symphony in such a historical place, with so many musicians and an orchestra that had such a close relationship with this great composer, I am beyond honored that this orchestra gave me this great project. And I think it's just the continuation of a great relationship and many more projects to come. But this one has been one that I know will stay in my heart for the rest of my life.
Giancarlo Guerrero, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.